Well, praise God. Dear Father, I thank you so much for the day. Lord, as I come before you, and I pray that you'd clear my mind. There's things bouncing around in there. Father, I pray that you'd give me a clear focus on the sincerity of your word, Lord Jesus, that we would be able to hear what the Spirit says to us through your word. And I pray over this, Lord, message that's going to be brought, Father, that you would increase our faith, our love, our charity one for another. Father, give us your Holy Spirit. Father, ignite in us the fire that only comes from you. And Lord, we thank you for those things. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week we talked about charity and the difference between charity and love. And I know that the folks talk about charity and love as the same thought in the same thing. But charity and love are really a couple different things. The scripture never tells us to show charity to God. Amen? There's not one place in the scripture that says, oh Christian, show charity to God. Now God shows charity to us by his love. It does tell us about charity one for another. And the greatest of faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is charity. And so that benevolence towards each other. And we talked 1 Corinthians 13, and we went through all of those steps and stages, which are the attributes of Christ. Now, absolutely, that love chapter in 1 Corinthians is talking about Jesus Christ and his charitable deeds as an example how we ought to show that same charity, that same compassion, that same desire for our fellow people. Amen? And so today, I don't know if I mentioned this. I think I may have at the very when I first started. Charity is only mentioned 28 times in the Bible. Know that, just 28 times.
Four times seven.
Four, hey, amen. Well, how about love, which 310 times? What's that four times?
Four times. You got to learn our
gazintas. I got to get my gazintas.
I don't think it goes evenly.
Yeah, I hear you. But God, he commands love. And when love speaks in the Word of God, mostly it's God's love for mankind, God's love for his creation, and how we're supposed to love him. You know, charity and love are two different things, but they're very similar in many things, many aspects. I can show charity toward my mankind, right? And we need to do that. We need to express that in our day-to-day lives. But love, this agape sense of love, is different. It's deeper. It's richer. It's mentioned many more times in the Word of God than what charity is. Charity is only, like I said, 28 times. That's like a speck out of all the words in the Word of God. And so in that, Jesus tells us to continue in his love. And we're on Wednesday nights, we've been going through John chapter 15. And this is kind of where I was heading this way anyhow, but this is really where it kind of touched my heart that we needed to speak. So John chapter 15, if you'll open up your Bibles there, we'll get going. He's talking about abiding in him, abiding in his righteousness, abiding in his love, abiding in him that we might be able to bear fruit, and that the Father is pleased in us bearing much fruit. And that fruit is what happens naturally as the individual remains in and with Christ Jesus. As it says in verse 8, "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples." All right. "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. And as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love, these things I have spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be filled. And this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you." Amen. Thank you, Lord, for your word. So we're about ready to open these things up, Father.
I pray that you would help us to hold to the righteousness held in your words, that we would learn about this love that you've commanded us to have. We would learn about the righteousness that you've commanded us to continue in, that we would have faith in abiding in you as you complete the work that you've started in us. And Father, we thank you and we praise you for those things. In Jesus' name, amen. And so, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. That is charity. All right? That's what charity really is. Is me laying down my life, my will, my desires for your desires. That I would lift you up, that I would decrease and that you would increase. That I would do whatever I could to help you, to edify you, to build you up in the most holy faith. Amen? That's what all of our jobs are for each other. If we're going to fulfill the commandment of God to love one another as he has loved us, that's what Jesus did, right? Jesus, God. Amen? Get that one to start with. Jesus, God. All right? In the heavenly realms, when the Father spoke, when Jesus spoke in the very beginning in Genesis, and God said, and it happened, that was the Word of God. That was Jesus Christ doing the work that was meant to be done. And so that was him in his holy realm. And then God humbled himself to become like a man. God did what? He humbled himself. He came down. He lowered himself from being the creator to be made like sinful humans. The reason being that he could be tempted in every way and yet show us without sin. So God... Jesus never stopped being God, but he did lay aside his, deity, thank you. He laid aside his deity for 33 years, right, and came and to be a man just like us. In the heavenly realms, in the kingdom of God, right, in the heavens, do you think you could ever tempt God? You can't do it. Yeah, and God wanted us to be in a position where we could stand and understand that we have a high priest that has been tempted in every way, just like us. You could not tempt God. You couldn't say, God, hey, I want to give you some gold to get your vote on my side. You couldn't, what are those folks in the politician world that get you to vote for them? Lobbyists. You couldn't lobby God to get him on your side. Crooks. Amen. Crooks.
He humbled himself and became a servant to men.
There you go. He laid his life down. He took his crown off for a while and he set it down at the right hand of the Father. And he said, even so, Father, I will do it. I will go. I send me, I will go. And he did. He came. And he never had a house of his own. You know, he never had a donkey of his own. In fact, when he was going to the cross, he told him to go find the colt of an ass that had never been ridden and bring it to him. So he even had to borrow a car to go to his own crucifixion to get into Jerusalem. He told the rich young ruler, the birds have nests and the foxes have holes, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. He laid his life down that we might know the righteousness of God. And if we're to love one another the way that God told us to love one another, that's something that we've got to start getting into our mindset. To love people where they are with the compassion that comes from God. Mercy. Right? Y'all, those who are in Sunday school know that I struggle with mercy. I'm not there yet. Amen? But God tells us to have that. He says, there is no greater love, in verse 13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. And so in verse 17, it says, these things I command you, that you want love one another. So the greatest commandment of God is to show love one to another. In fact, Jesus said in John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples,
if you have love one for another. Wrap your mind around this before we go to 1 John. Okay? This scripture in John 13 is just a couple pages back, if you were in 15 already. And so this commandment that he tells us to have, and I'm going to start this time reading in verse 31.
What chapter?
Chapter 13 of John, and verse 31. Therefore, he was gone out. Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me, and ye and as I said unto the Jews, whether I go, ye cannot come. So now I say unto you, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one for another." Jesus is saying, I'm going to tell you something that most folks can't understand. Little children, I'm going to tell you this, that there's a lot of people that cannot follow me the way that I'm going. But I'm telling you that what I'm about ready to do is show you real love. I'm going to go to the cross. I'm going to bear my back to the stripers, to the floggers, and they're going to beat me. They're going to crucify me. It's going to be a real crucifixion. I'm really going to die on the cross. I'm going to lay my life down for your sake. I'm going to get rid of me that I may make a bridge between you and the Father. And I'm going to show you what real love is about. This is something I'm telling you. This is how the whole world is going to know that you're a Christian. The whole world, everybody out there, doesn't just say that the church is going to know you're a Christian as you love one another. He says that every man will know that you are my disciples, my students, my pupils, if you show this type of love for one another. Folks, the church is coming short. Amen? Mm-hmm. We need to get this, especially in these last days, where Paul writes and says it's high time that we wake up out of our slumber because the hour's at hand. Right? It's high time that we awaken. It's high time that the church really get this understanding of what love is. It's more than just charity. All right? It's more than just knowing the attributes of God. It's doing what God requires out of us. He's looking for something from you. He's looking for your love, one for another. Out of all the things on this earth, there's only one thing that you're going to bring to the kingdom. Only one thing. And that is your love. That is your love. Jesus told when he separated the sheep and the goats, right? In Matthew 25, I think it is. Is it 25? Okay. And he separated the sheep and the goats. And he says, well, let's go there real quick. Because it's in my mind, but I can't get it out of my mouth because it's not my notes. The Lord just laid it on my heart. And I want to make sure that I say it correctly. If you get there before I do, you shout it out. Okay. Matthew 25:31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And wherefore, and before him shall gather all the nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, and the goats on his left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world. For when I was hungered, and ye gave me meat, and I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. When I was a stranger, ye took me in, naked, and ye clothed me. When I was sick, ye visited me. When I was in prison, ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer unto him, saying, Lord, when saw thee hunger, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee a drink? And saw thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? And when saw we thee sick and or in prison, and come unto thee, and came unto thee. And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it to one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. All right? So what is love? What is the one thing that you're going to bring to heaven with you? The folks that you loved enough to feed when they were hungry. The folks that you loved enough to clothe when they were naked. The folks enough that you loved enough to give a drink when they were thirsty. It's that love. This is not just talking about love. This is the experiential realization of love. Because I can say I love you, right? But if I don't tend to your needs, James wrote it this way. If a brother or sister you come to you naked and destitute of food, and you say, I'll pray for you, and you don't do anything to tend to those needs, your religion is worthless. It's dead. So that real love that God is looking for is a love that is actuated by work. All right? If I really love you, you'll know it not because of the words that I say, because I can love pizza. Amen? Look at me. I love pizza. Right? I can love mowing my lawn. I can love a goat. Right? I love my pet. How many folks are wrapped up in that? I love my pets. Nobody? Praise God.
I love Virginia Cavendish.
There's a lot of people that are.
There's a lot of people that are. In fact, Alan tells this story about a couple that called their pets their children, and they were never, ever able to have kids. And then he said, somebody told them to stop calling your pets your children. And once they stopped doing that, they started having kids. And now they're looking for more pets. They're a lot less trouble. Anyhow, I said that very truthfully, but with a little bit of touch. Go ahead, my brother.
Curtis, just real quick, I'm not saying it to correct you, but we also take into heaven how we were stewards.
Yes. Amen.
So our love one for another, and also our stewardship.
Right.
And that's in Matthew 25 as well.
Right. Amen. The talents.
He was thrown into outer darkness. So the other one, it said enter in.
The talents that God gave to those individuals, what was it? Doesn't say. All right?
Right.
What is a talent that God gives us that is supernatural that we cannot give? It's not by work that we can achieve it, like being a banker or a carpenter or whatever. Love. All right, God gives us a talent, and I'm going to call it love, all right, because it doesn't say what it is. Actually, a talent is a weight of something. A talent is like 100 pounds of this or that or the other. So if you're looking at the hard realization of what a talent was, it was a weight that was given to somebody of something, a talent of gold, a talent of silver. How about the talent of love? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life, right? God so loved, he's given you this ability, supernatural ability, to love. God's going to hold us in account by how we loved one another. The world's going to look at
your life,
amen. When the world really gets in a hard situation, and I really believe, I can't prove this because it hasn't happened yet, and I'm no prophet. I believe that there are hard times, really difficult times are just on the horizon. All right? It's right here. And people, the world is going to be looking for a safe haven. They're going to be looking for a place where they can be fed, clothed, directed, that they will find compassion, that they will find a group of people that are willing to share truth and grace to them in an abundancy. They're looking for a place where they, when I say accepted, that's really what they're looking for. They're looking for acceptance. Not an acceptance of their sin, but an acceptance because they're a sinner saved by grace. Amen? For when I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me. Amen? I say this all the time, I didn't have to get better to get God. I had to get God before I got better. Right? And so in these thoughts, the only way that
a lost and dying world is going to even see that there's a difference between us and the government is our love one for another. I don't know if you know this or not. I'm going to say it. Y'all might get angry. I don't care. The government does not love you. They do not really care.
I'm leaving.
They don't care. They do not care for you.
They hate you.
They hate you. Amen.
They're not even here to help.
They're not even here to help. So the body of Christ, what are we supposed to do? We are called to love one another. First, he tells us to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, all of our strength, all of our mind. And then love others as you love yourself. Jesus said, this commandment I give you, that you love one another. So what does that love really, what does that look like?
I think verse chapter 25, I think those talents are actually talents or gifts.
Gifts
that God gives to each person, right?
Amen.
It's a gift that God gives to people, and what we do with those gifts.
Yeah, amen. I agree with that completely. Yeah, you know,
it doesn't say.
But I believe that there are talents, right? But there are.
If he doesn't limit it,
amen.
Then
yeah,
we should.
Amen. Right. So if you're a carpenter, go build somebody a house. Amen, no doubt. But I'm a human without a lot of stuff. But what I can give is I can give you my love. I can give you compassion. I can give you mercy as God shows me some mercy. Thank you, Wendy, for that. We're talking about mercy and how I don't really have a lot of it. And she brought a point I never thought of. I was brought up without a lot of mercy. Right? There wasn't anybody saying, I offer you mercy in your life. A lot of restriction, a lot of rules, a lot of hardships, but not a lot of, that's okay, you can do better next time. A lot of kick you when you're down. So there wasn't mercy in that, so I didn't learn it. So it's a learning curve. I'm only 60 plus years old. I'm not there yet, you know. One thing I did learn is gravity still works. You drop your pen, it hits the ground. So we're told in 1 John, and if we'll zip over there real quick. 1 John, oh man, there's so much in 1 John about love. I mean, I could start in chapter 1, verse 1 and read straight through. But let's start in chapter 3, okay? Verse 1. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knoweth not him. It knoweth him not. Beloved, we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope purifies himself, as he is pure. What did we talk about all Sunday school? Right? Getting yourself right before God. So if there is in my life, if there is spots of unforgiveness in my heart, I have got to deal with that. Y'all have heard this old saying, I've said it before, unforgiveness is like me drinking poison and hoping the other person dies. Right? So me taking in hatred and hoping that that hatred is manifested in another person. Doesn't work. It doesn't work. I tell you what, you get out there and you make yourself go out and pick you some wild carrot hemlock, make you a nice tea of that, and drink it. Don't do that. I'm just saying. I don't want anybody going out there and finding wild carrot and making a tea out of it. Because if you do, you'll die. But it's like that, and hoping that that goes to somebody else. That poison, that rotting in your stomach, that pain. So learning how to love the way that God has loved us. And when I think about the way that God loved me, he saw me while I was yet a sinner. Right? God looked down from heaven above, from times beyond time, before the creation of the world. And he saw Tom, and he saw me, and he saw Joshua, he saw Gala. He saw you folks who have trusted him as their Lord and Savior. He saw you. He called you by name, and he bestowed, that means gifted, love to you. Did you deserve it? No. You didn't do anything to deserve the love of God. So how about us with fellow man? How about me with fellow man? Do I love the way that God has commanded me to love others? I got to tell you, no. I haven't. I am not there. And I'm going to use this one little three-lettered word, yet. I haven't gotten there yet. But I'm forgetting those things which are past. I'm pressing for the high call of Christ. The high call of Christ is a purity in the relationship man with man and man with God. That's the high call of Christ. That's what he wants us to do. If you love me, follow my commandments. And what is the commandment? Love ye one another. So as we're looking at love, and so it says, he talks about taking away sins. And flip over to verse. I can't flip over. I was going to skip a bunch of verses and go to another one, talks about love, and just kind of hone in on that. But we've got to look at the whole of Scripture, all right? You know what happens when you start bouncing around from one place to another and just kind of pointing out words? Sometimes you miss the whole story. Amen. So we're just going to, just for a second, it won't take more than an hour or two to go through this whole thing. And so verse 5, I think, is where we stopped. Oh, no, we stopped before that. Verse 3, and every man that hath this hope purifies himself even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth against the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not, and whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither knoweth him. Little children, let no man deceive you, that he that doeth righteous is righteous. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Can I get just a little amen there? Amen. Why did Jesus come? To destroy the works of hatred. He was a hater. He was a liar from the beginning. Jesus came to destroy that. Whosoever is born of God doeth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of the devil, neither is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. All right? So if you do not love your brother, guess what you don't have? God. All right? You actually have, you don't have the real God of the universe. You have another God, which is the devil. All right? Two people.
There's no
purgatory, right?
Right.
There's no middle ground here. Jesus said, I'd prefer you were hot or cold. But if you're lukewarm, I will spit you. I will vomit you. I don't care what word you use in there. Jesus is going to get rid of you. Amen? He's going to get you out of his mouth. All right? So for this message that you've heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of the wicked one, and slew his brother, and wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from life unto death because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. If we are not biblically loving the brethren, we have nothing but death. You have no hope in life. You have no hope in eternal salvation. You have no hope in Christ Jesus. If we are hating one another, we're a liar.
and the truth is not in us. So what does that love look like? I'm reading through real quick. I have chapter 4 actually written in my notes, but I wanted to make sure I didn't miss anything before we got to chapter 4. So in chapter 4, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because false prophets have gone out into the world. All right, now, how do we know that we have the right spirit? We got to test them. How do I test it? Do I really love Doug? All right? Do I really love Skip? Do I really love my enemy? Ooh. Jesus said, love your enemies. Love those who spitefully use you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. For great is your reward. Don't just love them who love you. Love them who don't love you. Jesus loved you long before you loved him. You know, and that is our example. That's what real love does. Church, I'm not there. I want to be there. I do. I want to be there. I pray that there, I know through the promise of God's word, there's coming a day. All right?
Huh? Sometimes.
Sometimes. Amen. Sometimes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm not saying that I'm a hater all the time. But there are moments, you know. When I saw that garbage that was happening in the convention, this past week, not that I didn't love the people, I hated what the people were doing. All right, so I love that. I love that person caught in sexual immorality. I love that person, but what he has given himself over to, I disdain.
Right,
I disdain that. Why? Because the holiness of God. Because I want to love him enough to bring them out of that. See, I tell you what, those people, there will come a day, and I hope it's while they're still breathing,
right,
that they will see the need in their life for light, for love, for truth. And as long as they're breathing air, and God hasn't given them over to the full debauchery of their life, if they're still there, there's a hope for those people, and that hope will only be developed through love, right? We, as Christians, often stand on our soapbox and we point down at people, okay? And that is not love, folks. Jesus left his throne in heaven to become just like one of us, all right? Tempted in every way. All right, so there's not a temptation that you have faced that our high priest in heaven has not faced. The only difference is he didn't sin.
He was without sin.
He was without sin. None of us have that, can say that. But we can say that I want to try to live that way as best I can. All right, he tells us to try the spirits to see which kind they are. You know, there is a love that comes from the world that does not match the love that's mentioned in the scripture. There's a love that says, I'll love you as long as you can do something for me. I'll scratch your back, you scratch my back. Real love, Jesus tells this parable about making a feast and then go and find the folks who can't pay you back, that have no way to give it back to you, and you invite those folks into your feast and meet their need. Go to the poor, go to the needy, go to the blind, go to the hurting. Jesus talked about it in the separation between the sheep and the goats. Those who had no way to repay you, and you showed mercy and grace and goodness to them. All right. We need to try the spirits. See which kind they are. Because there's two kinds of spirits in the world. Like Tom had said, there's only two. There's only two. There's the spirit of God, there's the spirit of the devil. And you are a servant to one or the other. You cannot be a servant to both. All right. Now, so which side are you desiring to be on? Which side do you really want? If you want God, you can have it. Verse 7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God.
He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And this was manifested, the love of God towards us, because God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love. All right, so the love that this is what love herein, this is what love is. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sin. Beloved, if God so loved us, all right, I'm going to pause just there for a second because there's a comma, I can do that. How much did God love you? Come on.
He died for us.
Not only did he die, he lived for you.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Yeah.
Yeah, he laid down his life, no doubt.
It's immeasurable.
Immeasurable.
You can't.
I am not worthy of the love of God. Go ahead, Kevin.
As much as I love my children, I didn't create a world for them.
Yeah, amen.
And then, you know, lay my life down.
God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son to die on a cross. When Jesus was crucified on the cross, when he was beaten, his beard was ripped out, punched in the face, spit in the face, and cursed, and the bulls of Bashan surrounded him, the angelic host, and the wickedness of the world surrounded him while he was on the cross. It pleased the Father to crucify him.
That had no power over him.
Had no power Zero. Over him. Amen. Zero.
No power. He didn't take his life. He laid it down.
Talk about love.
He took it up again.
Talk about love. That's the love that he's telling us to have. We to God. To one another.
Who did he do it for?
He did it for me. I mean, if nobody else, he did it for me.
Amen.
You, that one person out here today that needs salvation, he did it for you, and if for nobody else, he did it for you. But he did it for all. He didn't just die for the sin of man. He died for the sin of the world.
Actually, he did it for his enemies, because we were all enemies of God.
Amen. Thank you, my brother.
The hardship of loving our enemies, which is very hard.
It is very hard. But if we don't love our enemies, we do not love God.
Right.
And if we do not love God, the truth is not in us. Yeah. And we are a liar.
Love thy neighbor as everybody.
Amen. Yeah.
Foe or friend.
It is the drug addict. It is the alcoholic. It's the child molester. I know that's hard to say, but the human being, the one that was made in the likeness and image of God, his soul, I need to love that thing. Right? I hate what they do. In fact, my brothers, I don't even hate them. I hate me. I hate what I do. So I don't want to put myself up on a pedestal and say I'm better than them. No. But by the grace of God, I am them. You know, there's only one thing that's stopping me from being the most wicked human that's ever walked on the face of the earth is the love of God and coming to know that love of God. See, I couldn't start loving until I accepted the love of God. I couldn't start learning until I was taught by God. I couldn't stop hating until God showed me what hate really looks like, which is sin. That's what hate looks like. It is the lust of your flesh and the pride of your life. The lust of your eyes. That's what hate looks like. The world hates you. The government hates you. God loves you. And we're supposed to love each other. All humans, love your neighbor. Amen. And so I think, beloved, verse 11, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Whereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us his Spirit. Wow. Yay! I want to jump up and down right there. How I am given the Spirit of God. He gave me his Spirit. He gave me the Holy Ghost. What a great God. What a great love. And I am so undeserving of it.
whereby we know that verse 13 that we dwell in him and he in us because he hath given us his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God, and him and he in God. And we know and believe the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is love made perfect. Amen. Up to this point, how many needs an adjustment in our love? Amen? I do. Right? But herein it's made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. All right, now, he's talking about the day of judgment. When I see God, when I stand before God on the day of judgment, on the last day, at the last trumpet, it sounds and all of the dead rise and the judgment seat of God is open and the books are open and the things are open and we're going to stand before God. I have no fear. I have no fear. Not because of my righteousness, but because of his righteousness. Not because of my failure, but because of his victory. I have no fear. All right? For herein is love perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. I boldly stand on the word of God. All right? And God knows that I don't love perfectly, but I'm trying. You know what God looks at? He looks at the heart, not the outside. Amen? Men judge men by their outside. God judges man by their heart. Amen? And I'm covered. It's a propitiation, the covering of it. And verse 18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love cast out fear, because fear hath torment, and he that feareth not is made perfect in love. We love him because he loved us first, all right? If you are not loving God and loving others, there is nothing in your death except a certain term, torment, okay? If you're not loving God, if you're not loving others, then you can guarantee that fear is in the core of everything you do. But when you do love God and you do love others, there is no fear, because perfect love casts out fear. When you love the way that God tells you to love, you have nothing to fear. For greater is he that is in you than he who is in the world. Amen? That love is the power that breaks the bond of everything Satan has. Every fear, every hatred, every paranoia, all of that is cast out by loving God. And when we love God, we know that all things work together for good to those who love him and are called for his purpose. So it does not matter. It doesn't matter what the circumstances is. It doesn't matter. Love God. Trust God. Walk in his righteousness. Look for his understanding, not your own. And then all these things will be added unto you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Right? So we love him because he loved us first. Verse 19, verse 20. If any man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this is the commandment that we heard from him, that he who loved God loved his brother also. Whoa. All right, just real quick. If any man say, I love God, all right, talk to this about a brother that I talked to earlier this week. And he says, I know a lot of folks that go to a certain place, and I'm not throwing them under the bus, that's wrong, I'm not using names. They say they love. But how did Jesus say you love? By obeying his commandment. And his commandment is that we love one another.
Serve.
Serve. Serve. And what does love look like? It's by pouring down your life, serving one another, loving one another, walking in the righteousness of God with one another. And
anything you love comes before you.
Thank you. Yes. Right. Amen. When my wife has something to say that I want to hear, I turn off all the...
Put that little...
I had to put that little asterisk there, you know?
It's perfect. It's really perfect.
It is.
It's Christ.
Yeah. It is. It's perfect. It is Christ. It is the love of God.
It's the lavish love of God.
Yeah.
And it's so abundant.
Abounding.
That it can flow through us.
Amen.
And when we stifle it, we're stifling God. And
yeah. And then you lose your peace. First you lose your peace, not with God, but of God. And when you lose your peace of God, then anything goes. Then you act on your feelings and not the realities. I need reality. You know what's real? The only thing, the talent, the only thing that you're really bringing to heaven with you is love. How you loved other people. How you tended to them. How you ministered.
Yeah.
How you served others.
I want to get back to one thing you said earlier that I thought was very profound when you mentioned that, you know, our sin looked like our pride and the lust of our flesh. And if I ever think of the people I had a hard time forgiving, and I boil it down to pride being hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And pride being the source of the iniquity that kicked this whole thing off. Iniquity was found in you.
Yeah.
And iniquity was Satan's pride.
Amen.
And,
yeah.
And I think of all the people I've had a hard time forgiving, especially blood-bought believers, it all boiled down to, in some way, shape, or form, my pride was hurt.
Yeah. Where do wars come from? Because you lust and you have not. James, again. So where does that feeling come from? I'm lusting. I'm desiring something out of you that I'm not receiving.
Right.
Okay, so I'm looking for something back. Go ahead, brother.
I struggle with that at times. It's like a rubber band. Never completely figure it out, so it's a process.
Yeah.
But I had trouble forgiving. And so in my mind, I always came up with, I'm going to say it harsh, but it's not to anybody here. So I would say, they don't deserve it.
Exactly.
They don't deserve it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's exactly it.
Because they don't.
Right.
Yeah.
But the other side of it is,
to do we.
Neither do
we. Hate feeds your flesh.
We, but
yeah.
Neither do I.
Right.
And it's like,
Right.
Yep.
Right.
You know something that somebody didn't deserve? Jesus and the cross.
Right.
He didn't deserve the cross.
That's right.
Right.
Amen.
It was not fair.
It was not fair.
It was not fair.
Sometimes love is not fair.
No.
It's not reciprocal. Don't just love those who can love you back. Love those who are not able to love you back. If we're really going to get into this this pillar of love, unity, fellowship, charity, if we're really going to get into that, first we need to understand it ain't about you.
Amen.
It's not about you. It's about everybody else.
Oh,
amen. It's about God.
Even down to the personal relationship, husband and wife,
mother
and child.
Most.
It is, I deserve a better wife. I deserve a better husband. I deserve a... It always goes back to, just like you were saying.
Mm-hmm.
Well, remember, the other, just look at what we deserve.
Amen.
That'll boil
That's
down.
Right.
Yeah.
What do I deserve?
That's right.
Yeah. I deserve death.
I deserve
punishment. That's what I deserve. But what did I get? Grace, mercy, compassion, love.
Yeah.
I did not deserve any of that. So when I think of my enemy, right? And it's easy to love those who love you back.
Yeah.
But loving those who disdain you. I'm saying this, and it's boiling in me because I'm holding a grudge right now against Sean, my stepson, for the thing that was going on in our family. I still got a chip on my shoulder about that. Okay?
God does say, though, and I'm not... He does say to us to love our enemies, but especially to those of his household.
Amen.
So if you love... Yeah. I know.
Yeah.
So if you love those of your household, right, a little bit extra, that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
God says that, especially to those.
And so what I was saying, I'm confessing it to you, and I'm going to have to get up with him quick as I can. I've got to get over this, you know, because me holding that grudge is not hurting him. It's hurting me. Right?
And others.
And others.
And others.
Amen.
It's stifling the abundant love of Christ.
Amen. It's stifling the abundant love of Christ.
Forgive, brother.
Amen. And so I need y'all's prayer, because I'm going to have to go to this individual, right? I'm going to have to confess this.
And
be humble and ask for forgiveness for my hard-heartedness. I'll do it when I get back from vacation, because I'm leaving this afternoon.
I think, like you're saying, Curtis, there's a fine line between you can love the person, and I know we say it all the time, and hate the deed.
Yeah.
And we are also told, it says, abhor
yes,
that,
abhor that
which
is evil.
We are told to hate evil.
Yes.
So
amen.
I can separate the soul from
yes.
his sin.
Yes.
Yeah, you need to love that part which is eternal.
Right.
The
right.
soul.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. yeah. And so...
Yeah. Can I make another point?
Yes, please.
God showed me this. It's in verse 17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Now, on the day of judgment, you're going to be before the throne, and you're going to have boldness.
Yeah.
What does Hebrews 4 say? To go
boldly
to the throne of grace. Yeah. And you only get boldness when you have faith.
Yeah. When you have no fear.
And which is faith.
Yeah, which
and
is faith.
And it can even tie into Romans 8:1, there is therefore no condemnation. It is the love of God, it is His presence, it's His forgiveness, it's mercy that makes us able to stand. And we don't have to look back and regret and have shame and have, because then we stifle the beautiful thing that God did for us.
Yeah.
That condemnation is for those who are in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
If you're in.
Yes.
If not...
Yeah.
Yes.
Then you got some kind of.
Well, that's the peace we were talking about in
yes.
the study, that when all this comes to an end, He had you.
Mm-hmm.
He's the author and finisher of our faith, and I have total faith in Him that even in my failures, when that day comes, He threw away my sins from the east to the west.
Yeah.
And He's not going to bring him up again.
Amen.
Even though I'm aware of him, I think we're really going to understand the price that was paid for us.
Right.
At that time.
Mm-hmm. Yep. yep. And so, y'all heard me confess it. All right. I got some stuff to do. Yeah. I got some homework. I know that y'all probably aren't there, you know, that y'all don't have anything like that you need to take care of.
We have our own.
Yeah.
yeah, I think we all have our moments.
Mm-hmm.
There's times that it works, and there's
times that
it
don't.
Doesn't.
Amen. Well, what did you say? Sometimes the word "gosh darn it" just isn't enough.
yeah.
you know, and sometimes we get caught up in our emotions, and when we're driven by emotions and not reality, that's where we make our mistakes.
Amen.
You know, and so anyhow, folks, I love you. I absolutely do. I love you. And it's not because you love me back, although I appreciate that too. But I love you, and I want you to come short of no spiritual gift. Amen? And so that's why we're teaching this, the way that we're teaching it, and that's why God laid it on our heart this way.
Can I just make one more comment
about
Matthew 25, why I believe those are gifts given to us by God?
Well,
because
it says
He
so.
Says it.
Yeah.
If you look at it, it's typology. Matthew 25:14 says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling to a far country." So that is Christ going away to a far country, and who called his servants, that's us, and delivered unto them his goods. So
right.
he has given us the ability to reach people, and unto one he gave five talents, unto another he gave one, to every man to
his several
abilities.
Yeah.
So that talents is the gifts that God has given to you to reach out to the world.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I believe those talents are actually gifts from God.
Oh,
and I'm not
wow.
talking about, I'm talking, you could, a gift of kindness,
right.
a gift of mercy, a pastor, a teacher, you know.
Those, I mean, there are many different gifts, you know.
Even
and,
the ones mentioned in Acts.
Yeah, even the ones mentioned in Acts.
Yeah.
yeah. Amen.
Yeah, there's a list of them.
Yeah.
Parts of the body.
Parts of the body.
One is the ear.
Yeah.
If you're the nose, you probably shouldn't spend a lot of time telling the ear how it should do.
There
it.
You go. Hey, ear, you're not, use your sniffer ear.
Right.
Yeah.
My nose talks to my ear.
And so, anyhow, folks, work, whatever that is in you,
right,
work on that. Because again, I don't want you to come short of any spiritual gift.
I don't want you to come short of anything that God wants to do in you. And if you bear iniquity in your heart, when you know to do something and you don't do it, it is sin to you. All right? It's sin to you. You've got to do the right thing, whether you like it or not. And what I'm going to have to do, I'll tell you right straightforward, I do not want to do this because I think I'm right. Okay, I'll be honest. I think I'm right. I think I was justified in what I did. But even through this preaching right now today, because I didn't have this thought this morning, through this preaching right here today to continue in my love, what has made it so difficult is my hard-heartedness over this situation. And so, I don't know. I know a lot of pastors would never stand up here and tell you that kind of stuff. I say shame on them. You know, we all ought to have these things. You know, and a pastor ought to be as just as open and flat, you know, as anybody.
It's kind of what confessing your faults one to another
is all about. Amen. Amen. And so I ain't done it yet, but it's on the internet, so now I got to do it, right? The whole world knows. And so,
can I be the closer in prayer?
Yes, would you please?
Because I
yes.
want to pray for you.
Oh, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, I thank you very much for my whole morning this morning here, for what happened in Sunday school and in church, and the way you spoke to my heart about things that I need to do. But Lord, I particularly wanted to close in prayer because I want to pray for Pastor and Debbie as they travel. I want them to have safety and a blessed time of vacation. And also to help Pastor with overcoming what he dreads doing, but knowing it to be right based on what you told him today. So help him to be able to do it. Help him to be able to swallow his pride. He shouldn't be in that anyway. And help him to have the strength and the boldness to go. And he only has to deal with what he did wrong.
Yeah.
And that's a straighten out, Sean. That's for you to do. But Lord, I pray that you would bless them. We love him so much.
Mm-hmm.
And I appreciate everything he does in this ministry. It has grown me. I've grown more in the last few years than I did the previous 45 years of being a Christian. And Lord, I thank you for that. I thank you didn't give up on me because you could have very easily, millions of times. And I mean that number literally. Lord, I just am so grateful for you and so grateful for your word that you teach us and show us and that we can rely on it and have our faith in it and our faith in you by having our faith in the word. Lord, bless us all today. Get everybody home safely. And Lord, I pray for everybody to have a good week.
Yes.
To be mindful of the two great commandments.
Mm.
To be right with you and then to be right with our neighbor. Lord, help us to do that because either one of them at a given time is hard to do. So I pray, Lord, that you would forgive us for all the sins that we've done. And I know you have because I have already dealt with that. But I love you, Lord, and praise your name. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you, folks. Have a strong week.